Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of the Early Line is live on a Tuesday on SportsGrid. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside with you here with, again, one more hour to go. A lot of fun stuff inside hour number one. A lot of great stuff coming up here in hour number two. We begin, though, with some other NFL headlines that are starting to circulate, including Derek Carr and the update around the process that will be his free agency. His brother David Carr gives us a bit of insight here, Donnie, saying that this is going to be a long process for Derek Carr, which begs, I think, one simple question. Why?
Here's what I'm probably going to surmise by this, because it easily, to me, would have been a very quick process. I'm the only free agent out here. I have a good idea where I want to go. This team really wants me. Let's hammer out the contract details. Or are we slow playing it, Kevin, like Major League Baseball used to do in the past, where the best free agent doesn't sign till 1 week before the season and misses all of training camp, right? Because it's Scott Boras saying, well, if there's five teams that are interested, I'll wait around to get six and seven teams interested and have them bid against each other. Maybe it's that, where he's saying, like, no other free agents can sign. I have the floor to myself for 3 weeks. Let me set the hook in three or four teams, have them bid for my services. Then I make the appropriate decision before free agency actually kicks off to my advantage. That's what I'm feeling here. But it is a smart move, though, by Derek Carr, right? How many times do you get a chance to be a free agent? How many times do you get a chance to tell the story of how your career is actually going to end here? And he has a chance to do that. Make the best decision for yourself, both from a team perspective and financially. Sometimes that takes a little bit of time. And also, he's not under the gun here with time, Kevin. It's not as if there's four other quarterbacks for a team waiting to sign. He's the only one out there of those big names other than trade that's eligible to sign with other teams. He can afford to take his time and make the best decision and the most money he can get.
I wonder if Derek Carr has been told some truths by the teams he's talking to, specifically the New York Jets, and Carr has agreed that he's going to wait and see how things play out. What I mean by all of this is, despite that Derek Carr has a lot of benefits to potentially becoming the Jets' new quarterback, I don't think he's their first choice. I think their first choice is Aaron Rodgers. I'm not really sure where Lamar lands on the list. The compensation, both contract and picks that would have to be sent to Baltimore, are a bit complicated. But I feel pretty good about the fact that the Jets would prefer to land Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Derek Carr has looked around and wants to be a Jet more than anything, and maybe they've been able to be honest with one another in this process. Look, Derek, we really like you. We're willing to pay you the exact dollar amount that you want, but we have some other things that we need to look into, so can you hold off for a little bit here before you make that final decision? And if you're Derek Carr and the offer from the Jets is what it is and it's not changing, and from the Saints it is what it is and it's not changing, then you wait and you sit it out and you let the Jets go out there and chase Aaron Rodgers for a little bit at least. You don't have to act now. The well isn't going to dry up. This money isn't going to disappear. As you've said, Donnie, he's really the only guy on the market for a couple of weeks. And then free agency will kick in. So Derek Carr has time. I wonder if Derek Carr has been able to tell himself, I want to be a Jet. And unless it's the Jets definitively offering me the deal that I want, I'm not signing anywhere until we get some more clarification on the rest of this market. Our radio audience joins us on a Tuesday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wright, side of the Early Line on Sirius XM channel 159. Do you think that's possible there, Donnie? That Derek Carr is going to maybe wait it out for the Jets specifically?
I think it makes a lot of sense because I think that's the best place to go overall. Big city, a lot of money, you know, good GM, organization that's going to spend here, and you have an up-and-coming team that you can sort of slide into. But let's just say Derek Carr plays his cards right here. Aaron Rodgers comes out of his escape room experience and says, oh, you know what, man, I'm enlightened. I'm not going anywhere. Love the Packers. Lamar Jackson comes out in 2 days. Hey, we just able to get a $260 million completely fully guaranteed deal. I'm staying with the Baltimore Ravens. And Derek Carr sits back there, starts shaking his head going, oh yeah, now I'm going to have teams fighting over, and the price of the brick just went up even more because I'm the only one left and teams are going to be desperate to sign that quarterback. I think it all works out in his favor, but it all starts with the dominoes. If word gets out that, again, Lamar Jackson is going nowhere and Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to move on, Derek Carr is going to look like Joe Montana to a couple of these football teams.
Especially the Giants, if they were to ever pick up the phone. Just to sneak this in, Donnie, there's a lot of rumors circulating around the Eagles coordinator position, defensive coordinator position here. Jim Leonard kind of making the rounds now. Is that something that you'd be interested in and you think would be a good move for the Birds?
No, I do. Sometimes you got to get some fresh blood outside of the building to come in. And I think he fits that mold of young coordinator coming into it. This is a young coaching staff, particularly from Nick Sirianni's experience and also age here. I think he fits well into that mold. There's no rush here for the Philadelphia Eagles overall, Kevin, to get a defensive coordinator, quite frankly, an offensive coordinator, because I don't think there's any other coordinator jobs out there. So they can take their time and make the right decision for themselves.
I know I keep harping on something that I need to get over, but the fact that the Eagles had Vic Fangio signed, sealed, and delivered, but the way the process played out, it forced them to lose Gannon and lose out on Fangio. That's the rule, by the way, we should be worried about changing. Not whether or not the Eagles are going to keep picking up 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2. The Eagles losing all their coordinators, not being able to sign people. Fix that, NFL. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big 12, the conference of the year for college basketball. Will it deliver? I don't know. One of these conferences, you know, is going to disappoint. Maybe it'll just be the Big Ten, as always. But the Big Ten has a lot less hype around it going into this tournament. So we'll see how it delivers. Last night, though, we had Kansas and TCU. The Jayhawks entered this game number 3 in college basketball. TCU number 24. Kansas catching 2.5 points gets the job done. Despite shooting 3 of 16 from beyond the arc, despite shooting under 40% from the field, they win. Well, because TCU, Donnie, shot 20 of 66 from the field. A monster defensive performance from Kansas last night, where the numbers actually would have worked over the home court advantage.
Yes, and it was, I want to say it was a good game because it was two top 25 teams. It was close at the end, but it wasn't a good game. It was a close game is probably the best thing to lay that one out. Also a very sloppy game, and you're right. You can't shoot 30% against Kansas and expect to win, but there they were within 3 points with a minute to go. And sometimes, Kevin, it comes down to those fundamentals at the end of a basketball game, which is what? Don't shoot 13 of 21 from the free throw line, which is 62% in a close game. Make more free throws than your competitor. You're probably going to end up winning that basketball game. They weren't able to do it, but it just goes to show you that's a great win for Kansas, even though it was low scoring. They didn't play well. Just winning on the road in the Big 12 seems to be an achievement.
So that then leads to the conversation for the odds to win this Big 12 regular season. Kansas is minus 390, Texas is plus 340, 15-1 Baylor, 50-1 Ohio State. You look at the records right now, in conference is what matters. 11-4 for the Jayhawks, 10-4 for the Longhorns. Baylor is 9-5. You then have K-State and Iowa State at 8-6. We don't have a lot of time left, which is why those odds drop as drastically as they do. We have two Big 12 games tonight that we're going to preview in a moment. Donnie, one of them features Texas at home as a legitimate favorite.
which would put them at 11-4 with Kansas. They'd be losing on a current tiebreaker because they lost their first matchup against the Jayhawks, but they do get to play them again. Explain to people why Kansas is such a strong favorite to still win the Big 12 regular season conference record-wise.
Yeah, most people would say, well, why don't you just take Texas with a little bit of a flyer there on a big price? Because they still do have one game, as we said, with Kansas lined up, which means, and again, it's going to be on their home court. That's great. But let's take a look at here. With the game played last night, which was a big win again by Kansas on the road, that sets them up for the remainder of the year. Three games left in the season for Kansas, two of those at home, one road game, which is against Texas. Now, the key here, too, is the pressure environment, right? Like, ooh, I can't wait for that game against Texas. It might not even matter because that's the last game of the season. If you line up Texas here, who has four games left, say that's ample time to make things up. Two of those games are at home. Two of those games are on the road. But take a look at the road games here that they have to play. It's Baylor and it's TCU on the road. And if you say to yourself, like, hey, they can go in and knock it. Sure, they can. But, Kevin, if we take a look at the top five teams in Big 12 conference play, their home records, Kansas, 13-1. Texas, 15-1. Baylor, 13-2. Kansas State, 14-1. Iowa State, 13-1. So when you see two good teams you have to play on the road, you're looking at those going, man, I just hope we're actually competitive in that environment because how much home court weighs here in the Big 12. Even though both of these teams technically could be tied up by the end of the night with a game in Texas to end the season, I don't think they're going to be able to get it done for the Texas Longhorns here. I think it's Kansas with that big priced favorite here still makes the most sense.
Laid out perfectly. And maybe the easiest way to put this is after tonight, Texas has to play on the road twice and Kansas has to play at home twice. You know, if you were to switch the locations, Donnie, it still would be in Kansas's favor due to the gap in competition there. The fact that it's double away versus double home, it really lines up favorably for the Jayhawks. Let's start, though, with this Texas game tonight, then. We'll go a little out of order here. They are the later game, but they do play Iowa State in some Big 12 action here. Texas, a legitimate favorite in the matchup, laying 7.5 last I saw it. The total for Texas games has been an interesting follow throughout the season. This one checking in at 136.5. When you peel through the numbers, the Longhorns have the advantage.
Yes, yeah, so Iowa State again in conference play, Kevin, 8-6, Texas at that 10-4, still gunning there to see if they can take down the Big 12 regular season title. And as we pointed out, look at this, Kevin. Like, Iowa State is a really good basketball team. Do you know what their road record is? 2-7. So not against the spread, Kevin. 2-7 on the road. And then Texas, as you take a look at, 15-1 at home. It's one of those leagues, again, where you take a look at last night. The handicap wasn't that Kansas wasn't as good as TCU. It's like, my goodness, how did these teams even win on the road? And you saw they escaped with a 5-point win, even though one team shot 30%. It just lets you know how hard that's going to be. But if we're taking a look at Texas here, here's the interesting point. Iowa State's defense in conference play, number one overall. Number one at turning you over, number one at defensive rebounds. That's always going to help you out. But the thing that also, from a Texas point of view, number one, they play very good at home. Number two, Kevin, is they are number two in conference play at not turning the basketball over on offense. So usually with Iowa State, if you can turn up that pressure defense and cause havoc, that leads to quick runouts. That's not going to happen against Texas. They don't turn the basketball over. And also, some things come down to just, you know, the simple details. If you look at Iowa State's defense, they ramp up the pressure. There's 10 teams in the Big 12, Kevin. Do you know who's dead last in fouling? That's Iowa State. They're going to put you on the free throw line. Why does that matter? Texas, 79.4% in conference play as a team from the free throw line. I think Texas gets it done tonight. They handle the pressure. Right. They make their free throws. And once again, Kevin, they're at home.
All right. So, look, again, that home court advantage is always, always critical there. Iowa State, as you mentioned, it's been bad on the road, not just straight up wise, but cover wise as well. Yeah. Texas has largely been able to look. They're 500 against the number at home this season, but it's all about the spot. A great spot on tonight's board, at least from a viewing perspective, will be Kansas State and Baylor. Baylor is still booked sneaky strong. They're number 9 in the country. They're going up against number 14 K-State. They're a 2-point favorite in this game. And again, just for to give people an idea, yesterday's Kansas, I know the AP poll is kind of, it doesn't matter, but just to give people an idea, yesterday that was 3 versus 24, and 24 was a 2-point favorite. Today is 9 versus 14, and Baylor's the two-point favorite in this basketball game. Total in the 140s here. What do the numbers say for this Big 12 game?
Fun matchup here. And again, just simply breaking it down, Baylor 9-5 on the season here in the Big 12. Kansas State 8-6, so two evenly matched teams. But here we go again, Kevin. And how about Baylor with a pristine road record here in the Big 12 of 4-4? That's amazing that they actually have four road wins in the season out of, what, 35 games they're probably going to end up playing, which is incredible. But if you take a look at Kansas State at home in the Octagon of Doom, only one loss. They're 14-1 here overall. Now, also, they're going to play with a little bit of tempo. This is where the fun begins. Baylor, number one in offensive efficiency in Big 12 play. How about on defense, Kevin? Dead last, 10th overall on efficiency on defense. So one team that plays very good offense and very bad defense. The one thing we do know about Baylor is they are ultra efficient, which means they shoot a lot of three-point shots and they make a high percentage, Kevin, of those three-point shots. Where does that factor in on Kansas State's defense? They're number one in conference play defending behind the three-point line at 28%. So something's going to have to change here. Whether those three-point shots are going in or defended, that's going to be a big example. But also, again, Baylor's defense is terrible here. You can get them down low. They are going to foul you here. But if you're looking again, Kevin, how do you go against it? A team that never loses at home, and you're just going to come up and say, well, the line isn't getting 7.5 or 10.5 points here for Baylor. You have to go in there and win in order to get that cover. I don't know if they can do that here, even though they're so good on offense.
K-State is actually looking for a season sweep. They played earlier in the year, one of the early games of conference play, 97-95 in overtime. Kansas State did win that basketball game outright. It was 86 all at the end of regulation. K-State, 8 of 10 games as an underdog this season, have played to the over. Could be some juice in this matchup. We take a quick break here. There's a lot of good college basketball still to break down. It's all coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A lot of good college basketball on the board tonight. College basketball stepping up big time here. On a Tuesday, the ranked action begins at 6:30 with Xavier and Villanova. We're going to move past that, though, and go over to a really critical SEC game here. Alabama's, they look like they're going to run away with the conference. The team that's going to challenge them, though, is not Tennessee, who've lost five games in conference play. It would be Texas A&M, who holds a 12-2 record in conference play. A&M, though, at home is just a one-point favorite. Over the Vols, low total, Donnie. We're under 130 right now in this current number here. What do you see with Texas A&M and Tennessee?
Yeah, slow tempo. That's what we're going to see here. And as you pointed out, you're taking a look at Tennessee, which was one of those teams that we probably thought was going to factor in to the national championship picture. Now, it is really wide open once we actually get to March Madness, but Tennessee's certainly not playing their best basketball. 9-5 in conference plays. You stated losers of 4-6. They do have a 4-4 road record, but one of those teams you don't really think are synonymous with college basketball is Texas A&M. They've been sensational this year, and no surprise, Kevin, 13-1 overall on their home court down in College Station. But if we're taking a look at how this game is going to play into it, obviously the tempo is going to be slow. Looking at the defense here, A&M's number three overall in defense and efficiency. Tennessee is number two. Now, A&M's offense is better than Tennessee's overall effective field goal percentage there from the fourth in conference play, from three-point range, about 34% from three-point range, which, again, for Texas A&M, is top five in the conference. But also, some things, again, Kevin, just keeping it simple. I do think the game stays under the total. So if we're looking at that, like, 130.5 range, 129.5, I do think that is an under. But listen to me on this. Tennessee's defense, once again, is very good. But the one thing that they do is they put you on the free throw line. 14 teams in conference play, Kevin. They are 11th at fouling here. Why is that important? Texas A&M on offense, number two in conference play, Kevin, at getting to the free throw line, and number one in conference play at 77% as a team knocking those shots down. If we flip it over to Texas A&M's defense, which is okay, sometimes you try to take a look at where can I steal points from. if you look at Tennessee, not a great offense, Kevin, but also they're 14th in conference play out of 14 teams at getting to the free throw line. So if we look at point distribution and sometimes how hard it is to score, you want those free throws from the charity stripe to sort of boost what you're going to have as your output. They're 14th in conference play at point distribution from the free throw line, which again is dead last. If you're not getting easy buckets on offense, which they don't get some easy buckets from the free throw line, which again, Kevin, they don't get here. It's easy to say I like Texas A&M to win the game. I think they will, but I'd be more confident here at taking the under in this game if it's around that 130 price point.
It's such an interesting number because you look at Tennessee, and they are right now the number one team on KenPom defensively, but 68th on the offensive side of the basketball. It's not hard to figure out, oh, man, if this is going to all go wrong for Tennessee, where does it go wrong? The offensive side of the basketball here. We'll see how it lines up tonight in a game that has this anticipated low total. This is a team that's lost four of their last six games in Tennessee. At Florida, at Vanderbilt by one, home against Mizzou by one, and then they lose the Kentucky game by 12. Actually swept by Kentucky this year, Tennessee. Moving it forward, a good game, Donnie, in the ACC. Vatech and Miami, again, as we've talked about, classic spot this season. Vatech unranked. Doesn't stop them from being a two-point home favorite over number 13 Miami, who's been awesome this year, especially in ACC action. Is this a spot, though, maybe where the wrong team is favored and they're not giving Miami enough respect?
Yeah, we just take a look at Texas A&M, not really known as a basketball school, having a sensational year. Miami now looks like they might be a basketball school as opposed to a football school because their team has been sensational here. Guard-laden, veteran leadership, what's not to like about them? Take a look at them in the SEC. You know, very good record also. Coming in red hot here, Kevin, six games in a row, which includes, how about this? Stop the press. 6-4 on the road? Boy, who did they crack the code to actually have a winning record on the road at this type of, in this time of the year? Virginia Tech 6-10 overall here in the ACC, but they are also 12-3 at home, very good. But sometimes you want to take a look beyond the numbers here on the court itself. If you look at Miami, four games I just told you, Kevin, that they lost on the road this year. Take a look at those losses by six, by two in overtime, another game by two, and another game by three, which means they are going to be in it. So none of those games will say, hey, you know what? We're going on the road to Durham to play, you know, Duke in this game. We're just going to give it up. We're going to go on the road to Chapel Hill. Just one of those games we didn't have that got plastered by 25, which does happen to some basketball teams. They've been really good in that spot here. And also, you take a look at Miami in the ACC, number one overall in offensive efficiency, effective field goal percentage, and three-point shooting. And also you say, well, hey, maybe they live and die by the three-point line. They don't, Kevin. How about this? You know, in the ACC, if you're taking a look, they're 13th in conference play at volume behind the three-point line, but number one at making it. You know what that tells you? They're a really good coach team. They're passing to make sure they get the best possible shot, and that bodes well. In a day and age right now where you look and say, there's no way in heck I am going to take a road team here in conference play, Miami's probably the one team that you want to do it with. And if they're getting points, you say, well, hey, that doesn't make sense. I get it. The whole narrative of this college basketball season is just take the home team if you think that line is fishy. But I think Miami can buck that trend tonight. They're a really good basketball team and has shown a winning record on the road. And if they do lose, Kevin, they're not getting smoked where they just didn't show up or have it tonight.
Miami is covered 8 of 10 road games this season.
Yeah, good team.
Marvelous. By the way, that's actually not the best road cover percentage of any ACC team. Shout out to Pitt, who've covered 9 of 10 road games this year, but a good game in the ACC still nonetheless. Going then over to Creighton and Marquette. Creighton, number 19 in the country. Marquette, number 10. The Blue Jays are a 5.5-point favorite at home here in this spot against the Golden Eagles. A lot of colored birds in this matchup. Total approaching that 150 range here. Where's the juice in this one?
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun to watch this play out. We're going to get to the matchup between Marquette's offense and Creighton's defense in just a moment. But setting the table with this one, Marquette very good, 13-3 in Big East play. Creighton 12-4. If you take a look at Marquette coming into this game, Kevin, winners of 7 of 8 games. And how about this again? oh my goodness, a 6-4 road record. What is actually going on here? But then you flip it over to Creighton and say to yourselves, okay, they're 12-4. What do they typically do at home? 12-1 overall. Again, in that narrative, it's very hard to win on the road in college basketball and certainly against a very good college basketball team at home. Marquette's offense, number one in efficiency. Creighton's defense, number one overall in efficiency. So where does this wind up? The one thing that you do have to like here is Marquette's number one also, Kevin, and not turning the basketball over on offense, hence their efficiency. If you're not turning it over, that means you're getting more shots and more good looks at the basket. The one thing with Creighton ranked number one in defensive efficiency, you know what they don't do really well here? Out of 11 teams in conference play, Kevin, they're 10th at turning you over. So it looks like Marquette's going to probably get any shot they want. But hear me out on this as well. We always talk about some things where how do they line up from the three-point line? How do they shoot inside the arc? But so many times these games come down to just make your free throws. If we take a look at Marquette on offense, they're not a bad free throw shooting team as a whole, 72%. But how about this? Creighton's defense, Kevin, is number one in conference play at not fouling. You know who's dead last at actually getting to the free throw line? That's Marquette. So if you're not stealing points in a close game from the free throw line, your offense really has to work in overdrive. They are a good three-point shooting team, but how about this? Creighton's defense, number one, Kevin, at chasing you off the line. So Marquette's going to have to work a little bit. Where you think they might have an advantage? Inside the arc. 58% they shoot, which is number one in conference play. But how about Creighton's defense, Kevin? Number one in conference play at defending inside the arc at only 43%, which is pretty incredible here. In Creighton's offense, they should be able to score on Marquette. I think we get a high-scoring game, but some of these things boiling it down to Marquette going on the road and not the ability to convert at the free throw line, that might be enough to stop them tonight. Creighton's going to be a tough out at home tonight for sure.
Creighton is such an interesting team. They started the season 6-0. They then lost six in a row. Some close games to some good teams. Arizona by 2, Texas by 5. That one legitimately on the road. They were sat there at 6-6. They've won 12 of their last 15 games. The three losses, at UConn by 9, at Xavier by 3, and then at Providence in double overtime there. Creighton is a team that ranks 10th currently on KenPom, 26th on offense, 11th on defense, and had a lot of expectations coming into this season. And they might actually be living up to those expectations as a preseason top 10 team. And those six and that six-game sample size arguably still throwing off the perception, at least maybe as it pertains to their rank in the AP poll. There's two games we want to get to here. One of them is a DRS special. We'll save that for the next segment. So we'll close this portion out with Michigan State and Indiana. The Hoosiers, a road underdog here against the Spartans, who are a field goal favorite. They're laying 3 in this spot, total in the mid-130s. Michigan State, Indiana, Big Ten.
Yeah, good game here tonight on this card. And if we take a look at that short price here, we'll get to that in just a few moments. Indiana coming into this game 10-6 overall. On the road, 4-6. If we take a look at Michigan State, 8-7 in conference play, but also 10-2 at home. So holding up their end of the bargain. If we take a look at Michigan State's defense, effective field goal percentage, number one. Why is that, Kevin? They are really hard to score from behind the three-point arc, defending at 27.4%. But the one thing that we do know about Indiana, they actually make a decent amount of three-point shots. They don't shoot a lot. They're actually dead last in conference play at volume behind the arc, but also number two at making it at close to 39%. But their advantage comes in the paint. Point distribution for Indiana in conference play, Kevin, number one overall. And that lines up here. 8th in conference play at giving it up as Michigan State inside the arc. You know what? Let's buck the trend again here tonight, just to keep it simple. Give me the points with Indiana to go up and knock off Sparty in East Lansing. How about that? Buck that trend.
Looking for a close. About that. We're going to stick with some Michigan basketball before we get to the Lakers and the Warriors. It's all coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on Sports Grid. We're going to do the rest of the way for the Lakers and the Warriors, but we quickly get a little more college basketball. Donnie Special here, Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan. Going to the MAC. It's all you, Donnie. What do you like?
two really bad basketball teams, which is why we go to the MAC and have some fun. You see that 152.5, and you say to yourself, boy, that should be a stellar game. You are going to get tempo, but remind yourself, there are 12 teams in the MAC. If we look on offense for Western Michigan, they're ninth in efficiency. If you look for Eastern Michigan, even worse at 11th overall. But sometimes when you take a look at how these teams stack up against each other, they really stack up well, which means both of these teams give wide open looks left and right. Both of these teams don't play any defense. And both of these teams let the opponents score at will against them here. This might be a bad basketball game, but you can circle the wagons on this one and go, both of these teams probably approaching into the 70s, which will give you a legitimate look at that 152.5. I can't take a team like Western Michigan and go, hey, Eastern Michigan's really bad. Because Eastern Michigan is actually the home team here, and Western Michigan is a stellar 1-13 on the road this season, which is incredible the way you play it out. Western Michigan 3-11 in conference play, Eastern Michigan 3-11 in conference play. Two teams get after tonight. They go over the total in ugly basketball, but a lot of 3-point shots and some decent tempo tonight.
Beautiful. Nothing to add. Yeah. Fantastic. No, MAC action, looking for big-time scoring there in Eastern Michigan and Western Michigan. We go back over to the NBA then. We, in hour number one, went over the win totals for the Philadelphia 76ers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Big gap there for those teams in terms of strength of schedule. The Sixers, the toughest remaining schedule in the NBA. Cleveland with the fourth easiest schedule left based on the winning percentage of their remaining opponents. Golden State and the Lakers, two teams where, again, strength of schedule will matter, but your perception around these teams is going to matter a ton. The trust level for these teams is going to matter a ton. But the first thing, Donnie, that I wanted to mention is what these actual win totals are and just how close they are. The Warriors' win total is 42.5. The Lakers is 40.5. There is a two-game gap between the Lakers and the Warriors' win total. Despite that, the Warriors are 9-1 to win the West, and the Lakers are 30-1 to win the West. And I know two games can make all the difference. And I understand that if the Lakers go under this and finish with 40 wins, 39 wins, they're not going to make the play-in. But Donnie, the Warriors are still looked at this team that could absolutely win a championship, and they are just two games in front of the Los Angeles Lakers in terms of updated win total. I thought that was a noteworthy observation.
And I agree with you here. But also, if we're trying to take a look and be honest, Kevin, if the season ended today, Golden State would be in the play-in, which means technically playoffs, with a chance to advance into the quote-unquote real playoffs, right? If we take a look at the Los Angeles Lakers, they are outside of the box. So the way I look at that for myself is I'm actually not trying to angle towards the Golden State Warriors, but I do agree with the actual odds. If we're putting both of these teams in the playoffs, like the Golden State Warriors, if they're healthy, much better than a Lakers team when they are healthy. So I think that makes sense. But from a team total perspective moving forward, it's not the Golden State Warriors I'm actually looking at. It would be the Los Angeles Lakers.
And let's get into these teams. I want to start, actually, with the Golden State Warriors, though. 42.5 is your number, as I said, 9-1 in the West. Their odds to win the NBA championship are 19-1. They need to go 14-10 in 24 remaining games. The one thing I'll say right away, Donnie, with three back-to-backs on the schedule, we've made sure to mention back-to-backs for every team. Mm-hmm. Will the Bucks play guys? Maybe. Will the Sixers play guys? Maybe. Will the Warriors play their guys? Almost certainly not. The Golden State Warriors punt back-to-backs. That is just what they've done all year long. We'll find out right away, though. They play the Lakers on Thursday, and they are on a back-to-back on Friday. Shout out to the NBA, by the way. Their schedule making this season has been nothing short of abysmal. How a team is on a back-to-back immediately after the All-Star break is beyond me. But again, that's what they've been able to draw up this season. We'll see if they punt a home game against the Houston Rockets. Maybe they won't. What do you want to do, though, with this number here on Golden State? So much of it has to do with when is Steph coming back, and we don't have an answer on that yet.
You're right about it. But I want to say, like, that championship pedigree is going to come through, that now the All-Star game is done. Guys, we got to start to get our act together. But you're so right. Back-to-backs, and any chance they have to rest their starters, they will do that. But I think also, Kevin, that was a luxury in the first half of the season. Now, granted, we're well past the halfway point. The All-Star game is no longer the halfway point of the NBA season. But how many of these games can you punt? And the reason I ask that is, yes, if the season ended today, the Golden State Warriors would be in the playoffs, or at least a play-in round. But if I look now, just outside, 29 wins Utah Jazz, 29 wins Golden State Warriors. There's no more luxury of, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter if we win another road game the rest of the way. You won't make the playoffs or the play-in at this point. So I'm banking on a little bit more of a sense of urgency, because you can't just say, Kevin, you know, hey, we're the 10th seed right now. We're in the play-in. But the Jazz are five games back if they want to jump into here and take our position. So we have the luxury to punt some of these games. There's no room for error for the Golden State Warriors. So I do like them with their team total over. Not for the fact is I don't know when Steph Curry is going to come back. Let's just say he comes back a little bit sooner than later. But there's no more of those games where you're heading down the stretch with 3 weeks to go going, boy, we're a half game out of not making the playoffs. And Curry going, it's no big deal. We'll rest everybody and let Jordan Poole get 40 shots up here in a loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves, right? That's not going to happen anymore. Yeah. So I want to buy into the Golden State Warriors on their team total, because we don't have any more wiggle room here.
It's such a difficult number. I almost simply had my notes say, yeah, never mind. Because how are we supposed to do this without a clear answer on Steph Curry?
True.
Now, yeah. Steph could be back sooner than later, though, right? And that's going to matter a lot. Here is maybe the biggest determining factor, Donnie. The final eight games that they play, home against the Sixers, home against the Timberwolves, the Pelicans, the Spurs, all home. They're at Denver. They're home against the Thunder, at Sacramento, at Portland. They are either home or playing a below 500 team in seven of their eight final games, with the one trip being at Denver. None of those are back-to-back situations. You're right. If Golden State needs those games, they are more than capable of going 7-1, 6-2 at worst. And that is the thing with a win total like this, is if you're going to get an under here, you have to get it early. Still sitting back-to-backs, still with Steph Curry absent. If you're going to get an under, Donnie, it has to be early here with the Warriors. They might have too many questions for me to play it either direction. I feel like in my heart of hearts, I want to lean towards the under. But this is one of those things where we get to those final eight games, I go, wow, this is perfect. I just need them to lose two more games. And then I go, oh, boy. Oh, boy. And Steph Curry's lighting things up, and it's just not going my direction. We then get to the Los Angeles Lakers. 40.5 is the number. They have the sixth easiest schedule remaining. They need to go 14-9, Donnie, in their remaining 23 games. But the schedule does line up favorably. As I said, not only the sixth easiest schedule, they have two back-to-backs. One of them is at Houston. The other is at, in air quotes, the Clippers. Tremendous. Exactly what you want when LeBron James is going to vow to play all 23 remaining games. And we've done these now. This will be what, Donnie? The eighth team we've done? We've talked about Boston motivation. We've talked about Sixers motivation. We've talked about Phoenix motivation. No team needs to win more than the Los Angeles Lakers do. I'm very tempted by their over of 40.5.
Yeah, LeBron James got his days off here before the All-Star break, breaks a record, lose a couple games, sit those out. They head into the All-Star break, and we know now what's on the table. Because if you're looking, as we just talked about the Golden State Warriors, if it ended today, they're in the playoffs. The Lakers, the opposite. If it ended today, they're not even in the playoffs. Oh, that's a rarity. No, it's not. The Lakers actually missed the playoffs last year. Do you think they're going to go back-to-back seasons where LeBron says, hey, you know what? I need my maintenance day. We have five games left. Let me take this day off. Let me take that day off. And we got to get lucky around the league. No, now is the time for the Lakers. You can't say to yourselves, man, we really burned the candle at both ends. We had to play AD a lot. We had to play LeBron James a lot down the stretch. Yes, because you have to get into the playoffs. You're not jockeying for position going, what's the difference between the 2 seed and the 4 seed? I'd rather have LeBron and AD completely rested and ready for the playoffs. You might have LeBron James and AD completely rested and ready for the offseason if you don't get it together. And as you pointed out, that's a perfect scenario. There's not 5 back-to-backs with 2 of those being in Denver where you're absolutely going to lose the game anyway. Why stress and strain? You have 2 back-to-backs legitimately there that you can win, or at least worst case scenario split. I look for the Los Angeles Lakers to go max effort all the way through. What's the worst thing that could happen? You miss the playoffs, but at least LeBron James and Anthony Davis play out the string to give you a chance to get in. You don't want to be sitting here with 4 games to play, needing to make up 2 games, and a back-to-back comes down and go, hey, you know what? AD and LeBron are out tonight. We'll try our best in the next game here. They're going full tilt because they have to make the playoffs. A team that wants to make the playoffs and has to make the playoffs, those are the teams that I want to bet when you're taking a look at team totals, because they're going to play it all the way through. There's no way that these guys are sitting out with 3 games left to play when they're in the mix to make the playoff run.
If the Lakers are sitting guys out, that means you already lost this bet. That's what it means. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to lose this bet because they sat out. They have to go full tilt. They have, Donnie, 6 games, 2 apiece. The Rockets, the Thunder, the Jazz, has to be 6-0. Has to be 6-0. Especially with Utah and Oklahoma City sitting in front of you. Their opening game out of the break, Donnie, is home against the Golden State Warriors. Has to be a win. No Steph Curry. You're going to be favored in that basketball game. It has to be a win. And the thing is, again, we've done a number of these now. 14-9 is not a crazy number. We've seen, you know, numbers more outlandish than that. The Suns yesterday, they need to be 14-8. But they have the 6th most difficult schedule. The Lakers have the 6th easiest schedule. And Phoenix has more question marks in terms of who's going to be out there than the Los Angeles Lakers do. So it is manageable here, DRS. They're home for 6 of their first 9 games as well. They have to take advantage early. They simply do. They're home against Golden State. It's at Dallas. It's at Memphis. It's at OKC. And then it's home for the Timberwolves, Warriors, Memphis, Toronto, and the Knicks. They have to take advantage early here, this Laker team. You and I used to talk about this a lot when we were doing in-play sports tonight, trying to live bet. Can a team show lead? Can a team get out in front? Instead of just kind of creeping, and then the other team comes down and they hit a 3, and now the lead is 5. The Lakers need to get themselves in a spot where they start to sniff 500. They're the 9th seed all of a sudden on a day. With the conversation from the Lakers, Donnie, can't always be, man, they're only 3 games back of the 7th seed, despite the fact that they're 13th in the Western Conference.
Yes, correct. And that's where we always try to play into it, too, because you can say to yourself, well, the Lakers have 27 wins. Memphis has 35 wins. They're the 2 seed here. You know how hard it is to jump that many teams and move up? Yeah. You just have to take the baby steps here, which means beating the teams you're supposed to beat, and everything will take care of itself.
A lot of good options on the board. We will keep hitting these as we get closer to the second half of the NBA season tipping off. But before you go anywhere, you listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day here for a Tuesday of the Early Line, right here on SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Both Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh powering through as usual from 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after, which K-Dub will be a part of that first hour, so make sure you stay tuned. A lot of NBA talk today and how it sets up as the NBA will resume play with roughly anywhere between 25 to 20 games between each team here for the remainder of the season to see who makes the playoffs. Picked out some teams, take a look at some win totals. Very good stuff there. And also, college basketball still in full swing right now. We are less than a week away from conference tournaments that are going to begin, and one of the best times of the year, March Madness, and away we go into Major League Baseball season. But also, we're still talking a little bit of football here. Proposed changes in college football. Get out of here. Listen up. Sometimes rule changes are good, and you've heard me say many times, and it's not a joke, Rob Manfred, to me, the single best commissioner in all of sports. Every single rule he made a lot of sense. Pitch clocks here, bigger bases, so you don't have injuries, taking the shift away from Major League Baseball, and also the adding of the DH. You can't bring 19 relievers into games here. You have to pitch to at least three batters. All sensational stuff. Now, college football, we can agree, is a long football game. It's a lot of passing now, when in the past used to be a lot of running. But my goodness, do we need to change rules? It's so simple about this. If you are a network and you want to fit that nice little pretty box of 3 hours into a college football game, it's really easy to do. Forget about making rule changes. How about you cut down on the commercials? Perfect, right? Would fit us right in here. How about at halftime, we don't bring both bands out who nobody cares about, and we shorten halftime to 12 minutes like the NFL? That would get you right into that time box that we want for the networks here. But going into the game and running clock on incomplete passes here? Are you kidding me? Some of these rule changes don't even make any sense, and I still remember back in the day, 15 or so years ago, when they started the clock on first down. Are you kidding? Stop messing with the rules. Change the way you broadcast the games. That's a lot easier. Stay tuned for Ben Stevens in the Morning After. Coming up next, right here on The Grid.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.